It is good to see all of you this morning, and the sunshine just looks delightful out there. I wish the temperatures were a little higher, but we have to have winter before we get spring. The third candle of Advent has been lit this morning. It is lit to encourage us to trust. Just as people had failed in their faith ages ago, failed to trust, we too will struggle with trust. Fear of the unknown, fear of the past, fear of our enemies, fear of our security entangles us and may even paralyze us at times. Well, on this third Sunday of Advent, we are encouraged to bring our fears to God. We long to be freed. We long to trust. With the prophet Isaiah, we too pray, "Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid." I will be sharing what Isaiah has shared, what John the Baptist has shared, and about Mary and her faithful walk this morning. Every day has become an exercise in survival in today's world. Yeah, then throw in the politics, then throw in the virus. Yikes. Well, going back to when Isaiah was living from 740 to 700 BC, around those times, the Jewish people have been living in difficult circumstances as well. Their rights were taken away, their privileges were taken away. And this is when Isaiah continued to trust in God and write about God's salvation. God counseled his people to be impassioned, to be joyful, to be trusting in his promises, and to care, his promises to take care of the oppressors so that we do not have to retaliate for wrong, ever. We don't have to correct people in their thoughts. We don't have to correct people in their actions. We need to live out our trust, and people will see that. And God is the one who works with those who are oppressing others. God's saving grace would be witnessed over and over as prayer-filled trust would be developed whenever worry and distrust would develop. It took practice and it took time to continuously turn to God. It can be done. With Christ in your heart every day, it becomes a way of life to turn to God. Isaiah 12, 1 through 6. "In that day you will say, 'I will praise you, Lord. Although you were angry with me, your anger has turned away, and you have comforted me. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord himself is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. In that day you will say, 'Give praise to the Lord. Proclaim his name. Make known among the nations what he has done, and proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you.'" As difficult as it was in those times, Isaiah was rejoicing with the love of God. Have you thought about how much you love God? Well, he loves you even more. God is moving in our lives, and he is preparing a way. As we trust in him, doors will continue to be opened to us. Will there be doors that are closed? Yes. But no, they're not the way that Jesus wants you to go. Look for the opened doors. Pray about those open doors. He wants to be in our everyday lives. If God is with us, who can be against us? Trust that when you are afraid, he is there. Trust so that others see his light in your life. We are invited this Sunday and every day to act and speak in a trusting way with those among us and around us, especially with those who live in fear. We can work toward an inner freedom in whatever circumstances we face. Imagine, and this can happen with God's love, with Jesus' love in your heart, you are feeling fear, and yet your inner freedom through him can come through. There will be a calmness. There will be a door opening. And we can rejoice in and give thanks for the grace of God. It is when we put our confidence in him that he makes us strong. During Advent, we journey toward a trust that God truly holds all things. Our broken lives, our violent world, and the church's splitting due to divisiveness. Know that he is here. He is in our midst, sometimes with tear-filled eyes. But he is in control, and lessons are being learned. He never leaves us. We need to call upon him always. So in a difficult time, Isaiah was able to trust and to share. Luke 3:7-18, moving on to talk about John the Baptist. John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees. And every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire." "What should we do then?" the crowd asked. And John answered, "Anyone who has two shirts should share with the one who has none. And anyone who has food should do the same." Even tax collectors came to be baptized. "Teacher," they asked, "what should we do?" "Don't collect any more than you are required to," he told them. And then some soldiers asked him, "And what should we do?" he asked. "Don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay." The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Messiah. And John answered them all, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." And with many other words, John exhorted the people and proclaimed the good news to them. John was demanding true repentance. May have sounded brutal, but it was the truth, and he was preaching the truth. His instructions were ordinary, firm, and fair. He continuously pointed the people toward the coming of the Messiah. He was letting them hear of the hope. John was humble and strict, and he trusted the Lord. Our loving God invites us to participate in restoring this world through trust, through witnessing, praying, and acting justly. Freedom may not be here yet, but it is coming. John was preaching and encouraging the people to ask for forgiveness. He was pretty bold when he was outright calling them sinners. But at that point, they began to think and pray and change their lives. He knew and taught that repentance in their actions would lead to changed lives. Believers would feel, see, and live as the fruits of the Spirit would be brought forth. There would be trust. People would see the love of the Lord in the believers. John's preaching was very much the gospel for society at that time. He encouraged the people to share their abundance of goods. His preaching is very much for the society of our time. Aren't we teaching our children that, to share? Maybe we as adults can do a little bit better. Share abundances. And he challenged the tax collectors to not take their own salaries from the taxes they collected. And he baptized those who chose to trust and to believe. And he preached that a leader would be coming that would baptize them with the Holy Spirit. He wanted the people to trust. He encouraged the people to obey. He knew Jesus was coming. In the 6 months, I'm going to be reading from Luke 1, 26 through 38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And it was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." And then the angel left her. Mary was a bit frightened, a bit confused, but she was also knowing that what was going to happen to her would be a blessing. Within the presence of the beautiful angel Gabriel, she received a beautiful gift. "Don't worry," Gabriel shared. "Your child will be the Son of the Most High, the Son of God." Mary was reminded at the time of her cousin Elizabeth, who had become pregnant at a much older age. For God, nothing is impossible, and there is not a word from God that will ever fail. Mary submitted and trusted to the will of God. The privilege placed upon her was a gift of God's grace. Her son Jesus would be born without a sinful nature passed from his father God. Because of the uniqueness of his conception, he would be the Holy One that would be called the Son of God. Mary knew clouds would gather around her character, but she was willing to trust and to be dedicated to the Lord. She humbly agreed to receive a pregnancy that would be seen as suspicious in her community. With these words, Mary showed a model of patient faith. "I am the Lord's servant." I think that's a beautiful sentence. And perhaps tomorrow morning when you wake up, along with the way Janine announced we should jump out of bed and say praise God, we also need to be thinking and saying and knowing, I am the Lord's servant. God worked within Mary spiritually. This he does in each of us as believers. Jesus became the visible Son of God to the world, and through us he continues to be visible, the visible Son of God. I'm going to say that again. He became the visible Son of God to the world, and it is through us that he continues to be the visible Son of God. Perhaps someone sees you as the patient one, the giving one, the kind one, the sharing one, the loving one. You are becoming the visible Son of God. Pastor David Guzik shares that Jesus is great in perfection. Jesus is great in perfection of his nature. Jesus is great in the splendor of his achievements. Jesus is great in the numbers of those he rescues. Jesus is great in the estimation of his people. No one has influenced history more than Jesus Christ. We are so blessed to have him in our hearts, in our church, in our community, in our world. Hard to see it, hard to understand what's going on, but know that God is there. No one has influenced history more than Jesus Christ. Let us not worry about anything, but in everything with thanksgiving, make our requests known to God. God's peace, which is beyond our understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds. Trust and do not be afraid. He loves you more. Amen. Let's pray. Allow us, Lord, to be people who stand firm and trust you wholeheartedly. Help us to get our eyes off the mountains before us and put our eyes on you, the God who moves the mountains. May the Holy Spirit turn our lives into a powerful demonstration of what trust in the Lord looks like. We praise you, Jesus. We ask you to walk with us every day. As we walk, fill us with trust and give us more love, more hope, more peace, and more joy. Amen.